Pirkei d'Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're continuing the discussion about Kiddus Yitzchok. So we just mentioned last week that what happened was that Yitzchok at the Mizbeach, whatever happened, either because he was very scared, so his neshama left him and he died, or he saw something that he wasn't supposed to see, his neshama left him and he died, and then he came back to life, and we saw that Yitzchok saw that there's going to be the idea of Tchias HaMesim, and Yitzchak said the bracha of Baruch Ato Hashem Mechayei HaMesim, the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which, as we're saying, is Mislom is Keneged Yitzchak. If the first bracha is Keneged Avram, the second bracha is Keneged Yitzchak, it makes a lot of sense. Okay, so up to the words of Zecharia Omer. Rabbi Zecharia says, Oysoy Ha'ayil Shnivra Beinu Shmoshes. That ram which was created Beinu Shmoshes, meaning it's alluding to the Mishnah that we've had multiple times. The Mishnah in the fifth paragraph of Safas Alvis that says that there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos, Beinu Shmoshes. So we're saying that ram, the ram we're going to see that Avraham Avinu brings by Kiddush Yitzchak, that ram was the ram that was created Erev Shabbos, Beinu Shmoshes. Hayorot uvalu hiskarev tachas Yitzchak. It was running to go to Avraham Avinu because it wanted to be brought instead of Yitzchak. V'hoya Samuel oimei umashtoisoi. And the Satan was standing and mashtoisoi. There's another case of mastin. Mashtoisoi means like it's confusing it, letting it get to where it wants to go. Or mastin is like it's accusing against it, I guess like in Shemayim or something, to try to stop it from doing what it wants to do. Kedei levatel karbonah shel Avraham Avinu. In order to nullify or neutralize the carbon of Avraham Avinu. The Satan didn't want that the Avraham Avinu should makriv this ram instead of Yitzchak. What did the Satan do? Nachaz b'shei karnoisov ben ha'ilonis. The Satan caused that this idol will be nachaz, will be captured or trapped b'shei karnoisov with its two horns ben ha'ilonis, between the trees. It was trapped between the trees on its two horns. Shenar to the pasuk, this Avraham is a nov vayar. Avraham lifted his eyes and he saw v'hinei ayil. And it says achar nachaz basach b'karnov. It was trapped in the shrubbery from its horns. So you see, the magic is saying that the Sultan caused that to happen because the Sultan didn't want Avraham Avinu to be mark of it. May also ha'ayil. What did this ram do? It's interesting. Like from this story, it sounds like the ayil has some sort of like bechira, and the ayil decided it wants to be bad as a carpenter, so it's going to fight the Sultan and do whatever it can. That's an interesting idea. The ram stretched out its hands towards the talit of Avraham Avinu. And as the Radal says, as if to say to Avraham Avinu, please take me, save me. Hibit Avraham v'ra'esayil. Avraham Avinu looked, and he saw this ram. V'lokach esay, and he took the ram, v'hitiroi, and he disentangled it, v'hikrivoi tachas Yitzchak, and he brought it as a korban instead of Yitzchak. Shneamar, as it says in the pasuk, Vayelch Avram went, Vayikach Zayil, he took the ram, Vayyaalehu l'oilo, Tachas b'noi, and he brought it up as an oilo instead of his son, Tachas b'noi, instead of Yitzchak. It's an interesting point over here. The word Tachas in Lashon HaKodesh has multiple meanings. One meaning of the word Tachas is because. For example, Tachas Hashem Yevadet Hashem Leikecha means because you didn't listen, you didn't work for Hashem B'Simcha V'Tuvleib. Tachas means because, in some contexts. In other contexts, the word Tachas means underneath. And you put something Tachas Shul means you put it under the table, right? Then, or yeah, you could say like that. Or Tachas can mean instead of, right? So the vulgar meaning of the word Tachas in modern Hebrew, my understanding of it is that it comes from Yiddish, but that comes from the Lashon HaKodesh word tachas, meaning underneath, meaning the part of your body that you're sitting on when you're sitting, right? So it's underneath you. So in Yiddish, it became a word tuchis, and then from that came the word in Ivrit. That's my understanding of the etymology. But I don't think it has that meaning in Lashon HaKodesh. Could be mistaken, but Al-Kopanim, so over here it says Tachas B'noi, that Avraham Avinu was makriv the ram Tachas B'noi, and I translated it as instead of Yitzchak. Tachas B'noi.
How else would you translate?
Well, the Malbim in Parshas Vayera says a huge Chiddush. He wants to translate it differently. He wants to say Tachas B'noi means underneath Yitzchak. How so? So he says like this. As we mentioned before, that Yitzchak, when he was on the Mizbech, he died, and his neshama went up to Shemayim. So the Sefer Kabbalah speak about how when Yitzchak's neshama went up to Shemayim, so the Malach Michol, was like the guardian angel of Klal Yisrael, which is a whole sugya on its own, but the Malach Michol took the neshama of Yitzchak and was makriv it on the Mizbech in the Shemayim. Whatever exactly these ideas mean. But that's what the Sefer Kabbalah says. So the Malbim says that, so Yitzchak was brought up on the Mizbeach, up in Shemayim, and underneath him, on the Mizbeach, down here on the earth, so then Avraham Avinu was makriv the ram. So the ram was brought underneath Yitzchak, meaning Yitzchak was brought and in the Mizbeach in the Shemayim, and the ram was brought underneath him in the Mizbeach, down here in the Eretz. Now it's also mashma from the Malbim, that because the way he starts off his Zvar, he says that and Yitzhak's body remained on the Mizbeach. Right? So I wasn't sure if the Malbim means to say that Avraham Avinu was makriv the ram on top of Yitzhak. Like when we talk about the physical body of Yitzhak and the physical ram that's being brought on the Mizbeach. Does it mean that Avraham Avinu took the ram and put it on top of Yitzhak who is still on the Mizbeach? In which case, In which case, it would mean that Yitzchak was underneath the ram in the physical aspect, but in the spiritual aspect, the ram was underneath Yitzchak.
No, physical aspect, but heaven also would be.
What? No, if
ram, and then it's tachas, but not always the Yitzchak on top.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Physically.
No, that's what I'm asking. Because either it would, because who said, we don't find anywhere, it just sounds funny that the Mabim would be saying that. What did Avraham Avinu do? He picked up Yitzchak, put the ram on the Mizbeach, and then took Yitzchak and put him back on top.
On the ram.
Right. And that way the ram is underneath Yitzchak. Is that what the Mabba means to say? Or he means
well,
to say...
Well, that's also kind of strange to think that he would dump a ram on top of his son.
Right. And the other way of saying it would be that, no, the ram was on top of Yitzchak. So really Yitzchak physically was underneath the ram, but the ram was underneath Yitzchak because Yitzchak's neshama was brought in the Mizbech on the Shemayim and the ram was brought in the Mizbech
there
over here.
There room for them to be side by side?
Could be there's room for them to be side by side. That's Hanami, you're right. I didn't think of that option. Maybe it was side by side. Right.
So just like Am Yisrael, when Rashi brings the pshat of Hachasahar and
yeah.
Sinai, Rashi says Kipshuto. It means next to the mountain. And Chazal say, literally, tachas.
Right, Chazal say it means...
Tachas means under the mountain, so...
Kofalim harkigis.
So tachas could also mean next to
it. Oh, tachas could also mean next to it, you're saying. Ah, yeah.
Because of that, tachas. Then they're the passion.
So you're supporting Mr. Dove's theory, that they're both next to each other on the Mizbeach. It's an interesting idea. Well, let's go back. Rabbi Baruch Ya'aymer. Rabbi Baruch says, Allah Reach Nichayach Shal Ayil, the pleasant smell of the korban of the ram went up lifnei chisei akavod in front of the chair of glory of in front of Hashem. V'orav loy, and it was as sweet to him as Reach Nichayach Shal Yitzchak, as the pleasant smell of Yitzchak. So Hashem, Kibiyochel, enjoyed the smell of Avraham Avinu being makriv the ram. As if Avraham Avinu was makriv Yitzchak himself. The Radal adds a few words over here. Pashar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yad Yeminai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stretched out his right hand, which is an expression we've had multiple times over here in Pirkei De Beleza, which means that Hashem swore. V'nishma, and he swore. L'varuchai b'zeh ha'elam u'l'elam haba. Hashem swore to bless, to bless Yitzchak in this world and in the world to come. Shneamer, as it says in the pasuk, Kivorech avorechacha, because I shall surely bless you, v'harbo arbe es zaracha kichaychoy ha'shumayim, and I shall surely multiply your seed or your descendants like the stars of the heavens. So the Medrash starts in 1 second. Barecha avorechacha b'lemazeh, I shall surely bless you in this world, v'harbo arbe bo'elam abo, and I'm going to multiply your descendants in olam abo. The Radal has a problem with this girsa. The Radal's problem is that it says the bracha is ba'olam hazeh, but harba arba is talking about olam haba. That sounds like the harba arba didn't happen in Olam Hazeh. The Jews didn't have this bracha of multitudes in Olam Hazeh, which he says Bukhari is not true. So how does that work? So he changes the girsla, the radal, according to to be in consonance with the girsa of the Yalkut Shemaini, which he says the Gra also has this girsa, that is supposed to read it like this: Kivoreich ba'ilam hazeh, avorechacha ba'ilam haba, harba ba'ilam hazeh, arba ezarecha ba'ilam haba. So that there's a bracha in ilam hazeh and ilam haba, and then there's a harba a ribui. What's it called? The multiplication of descendants, both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba, and it makes sense because in both of them there's a double lashon. And there's a whole shnikel Torah. I don't remember it by heart. Chaval, I should have looked it up. From a Yehuda Fateya, the Talmud of the Ben Ishchai, big mukubal. He has a sefer called Minchat Yehuda on Chumash, where he explains. It was a very simple vort, like a logical vort. It's for sure true that the bracha of the multiplication of Avraham Avinu's descendants actually did happen. It was a very simple chesed. I don't remember exactly how it worked.
At a certain period in time it happened?
Even you can see it nowadays.
It
was something like...
But nowadays the Jews are tiny.
No, but he so no that's his question, and his answer is.
What's his question?
That nowadays the Jews are tiny, so how could it be that there's a bracha that they're going to be the multitudes? So his answer was it was some pashat cheshbon that relative to everyone else who lived at the same time as Avraham Avinu, there's way more Jews than there are descendants of everyone else. I don't remember exactly. I should have looked it up, but yeah. What were you gonna ask?
You said this bracha is probably going on Yitzhak. Why? And not Abraham. I was at the pastor's was on Abraham, and I don't know if I have a raya, but I remember reading that Kechovrei Shamayim is the bracha given to Abraham.
You're right. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I misread it. The pastor's is going on Abraham because the pastor. It's really the pastor says Yan Asher. The lashon of the pasuk.
I don't exactly understand why, but it's his test, not Yitzhak's test.
Right.
Even though we talk about it being also Yitzhak being
one. Right. Hashem is speaking to Avraham Avinu, not to Yitzchak. I don't know why I said the pasuk says that it's talking about Yitzchak. No, you're completely right. I mean, remember, we know that the bracha anyways ends up going from Avram to Yitzchak, but that's a separate issue. Fine. Right there. Rabbi Chanina ben Toysa Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Toysa says, Eisei ha'ayil lo yatsa meimenu dover levatola. That ram that was created, Erev Shabbos ben Hishmashas, that Avram Avinu was makriv as a korban, lo yatsa meimenu dover levatola. Nothing was created from that ram that went to waste. Meaning everything from that ram was used for something else or became an important thing on its own right. For example, says the Medrash, Ephroi shel ayil, the ashes of that ram, hu yusoid shel gabe hamizbeach hapnimi. The ashes of the ram that Avraham Avinu was makriv instead of Yitzchak, that is the foundation upon which the mizbeach hapnimi, the inner mizbeach, meaning the golden one that's in the that's in the holier part of the Beis HaMikdash, upon which they bring the Keteres, the Mizbech HaPnimi, the golden Mizbech, the foundation of that is the ashes of this aisle. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'chiper Aharon al Karnei Sov Achas Bashana. That Pasuk is talking about Yom Kippur. And it says, V'chiper Aaron al Karnei Sov Achas Bashana. Aaron is going to be Mechaper, he's going to get an atonement on the Karnei Sov, which Pashut on the Pasuk is, it's talking about the horns of the Mizbeach, which are like these like things that stick out on the corners of the Mizbeach. That's Pashut Shat. But we're darshaning it to mean the horns as an allusion to the horns of this ram, which Avraham Avinu was Makriv instead of Yitzchak. So Aaron is Mechaper on these rams, Achas Bashana, one time in the year. The Radal says that this is also an allusion to the fact that the day of Akedah Yitzchak was Yom Kippur. So that's why we're bringing a pasuk that has to do with Yom Kippur. Al-Kuponim, so the ashes of the ram became the Yisoid Shalgabe Mizbeach HaPnimi. We're going to see that all the different other parts of the ram were used for other things. But the Radal points out another interesting idea, that the Gemara Zvachim, Daf Samech Bez Aleph, the Gemara says that the ashes of Yitzchak, which we said last week, whenever the Gemara or Chazal refer to the ashes of Yitzchak, it's really referring to the ashes of the aisle, not the ashes literally of Yitzchak, but the ashes of the aisle, which represent as if it was Yitzchak. Right? So the Gemara in Zvachim says that the ashes of Yitzchak, that is the place of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara is talking about over there, not the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but the Mizbeach HaChitzin, the outer Mizbeach, the carper Mizbeach, the big one with all the animals slaughtered, not the Keteris. So that seems to be arguing with what Medrash over here is saying, that the ashes of Yitzchak is the Yisoid of the Mizbech HaPnimi. Over there it says it's the Mizbech HaChisein. So Radal points out that it seems to be there's a Shtikl Machlekes over here. And he notes that earlier we said in Perek Chav Tes that what is the Pirkei D'Blezer itself said a different pshat what the Yisoid of the Mizbech HaChisein is. Pirkei D'Blezer said that the place where Avraham Avinu's blood dripped when he had his bris milah, so upon that is where the Beis Hamikdash was, where the mizbech of the Beis Hamikdash was built. So Pirkei D'Blezer l'shitasai didn't want to say that the ashes of Yitzchak is the yisoid of the mizbech hachitzain, because it already said that the place that Avraham Avinu's blood dripped is the yisoid of the mizbech hachitzain. That's the part that the Radam says over here. Weiter, Gidov shel ayil, the sinews of the ram, hem asara, which happened to be 10. For some reason, we know that there's 10 sinews. Keneged asara nevolim el kinar shayot David menagin mehem. It corresponds to the 10 nevolim, which Radal changes the gears to nimin, 10 hairs or 10 strings of the kinar of the harp that David HaMelech used to play. So the sinews of the aisle became the strings of the harp. We spoke about the harp of David HaMelech that had 10 strings earlier in Perek Yutes. Oirei shel ayil, the skin of the ram, hu ezer moslem shel Eliyahu. That was the belt of Eliyahu Anovi's pants. Shinamar, it says in the pasuk, vayomru elav ish baal, when they were trying to describe how Eliyahu Anovi looks, so Vayomer Elov, who they said, Ish Bal Seyar, he is a hairy man, Ve'ezer Or, Ozur Bemosnov, and a leather belt is belted around his thigh, around his, what's it called, his waist. So that's how they described Eliyahu HaNavi. So that leather belt, the leather came from this ram. Shtei Karnov Shel Ayil Shofaris. The two horns of the ram were shofaris. They were shofars. They were, you know, ritual blowing horns or whatever. That were used in, or going to be used in Jewish history. Bishal smal, the left horn, nishma kolei shal kodesh baruch hu al har sinai. With the left horn, I added the word shal. I think it makes sense. But with the left horn, we heard the voice of a kodesh baruch hu on har sinai. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, vayhi kol ha-shofar. The pasuk says that it was the voice of the shofar. So it says the shofar tells us that it was the shofar of something that was special or mentioned earlier in Tanakh. So we understand that it was the horn from that ram that Avraham Avinu was makriv instead of Yitzhak. V'keren shel yamin, and the right. So that was the left horn. What about the right horn? The right horn. Who gadol min asmal? It was bigger. It's a bigger horn than the left one. V'asid l'skayabay l'asid lavay b'kibutz shel goliyos. And that horn, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, or maybe Mashiach or Eliyahu Navi, is destined to blow in that horn in the future to gather up the ingathering of the exiles. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, v'ayir bayayim ahu yitoka b'shefer gadol. On that day, when the day of Mashiach comes, you talk about shofar gadol. He will blow with the great shofar. So that's referring to the idea that when Mashiach comes, they're going to blow a great shofar. And that shofar, we're saying, is the right horn of the ram that Avraham Avinu was makriv instead of Yitzchak. Before we do the last line over here, There's an interesting shaila in the Rishonim that they ask about this. What? What?
Maybe we spoke about it.
Yeah.
Why
what?
Why that idol?
Why that idol? Yeah. We didn't speak about why. We're bringing psukim that shows us that.
Why is it so special? It's just supposed to be some kind of a wow.
It could be the point is like this, that the Medrash started off by saying that every piece of that ram that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created, Erev Shabbos Medrash Moshes, that Avraham Avinu was makriv, so every piece of it was used for something. It was lo yotze mimenu davar lebatala. So it could be that's the reason, that the significance of it. I'm not sure beyond that exactly. I mean, I'm sure.
From the angle that,
I'm sure
the animal is not a complete barash.
Right.
So I'm asking a different question. Why?
Well, what's the significance?
Why is the animal so important that we use it for the Noah, not for Shiva?
So each thing we'll probably have to go through and try to figure out what's the special connection between Elio and Novi and the Isle of Yitzhak. You can draw parallels, let's say, between Elio and Novi bringing makriv the korbanos that we had in this week's Haftarah, and Avraham Avinu being makriv Yitzhak on the Mizbeh. I don't know. I'm sure they discuss it. I didn't see any sources. But the Ramban has a very technical question. This is in Parshas Yisro. It says in the pasuk by Har Sinai. It says Bimsheich Hayoyvel Hema Ya'alav Ohar. There's a pasuk Perek Yates, pasuk Yud Gimel, Parshas Yisro. Right, the pasuk says that Noah is allowed to go up to the mountain to Har Sinai, but when Bimsheich Hayoyvel Hema Ya'alav Ohar, when the Yoyvel is drawn, so then they can go up on the mountain. What does it mean when the Yoyvel is drawn? So Rashi says, what's the Yoyvel? Yoyvel Hu Shefer Shel Ayel. A Yoyvel is the sounding of a shofar of an isle, of a ram, right? And then Rashi says, "V'shofar shel Eloi shel Yitzchak." This shofar that was blown at Har Sinai is the shofar of the ram of Yitzchak that we're talking about over here. Similar to what we're talking about over here, our Medrash darshing it from the pasuk of "Vayhi Kol HaShofar." Rashi is darshing it from the pasuk of "Bimsherech HaYoyvel." Rashi says "HaYoyvel" means "Da Yoyvel Da Shofar," which is "Da Shofar" from the Ale of Yitzchak, Ale of Yitzchak. The Ramban asks the kasha like this. The Ramban passes this right. The Ramban says, "One second. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about the ram that Avraham Avinu brought as an oila instead of Yitzchak. Yeah." What's the halacha of a korban oila? What do you do with an oila?
Completely burn it.
You completely burn it, yeah?
Gidim and all.
So how could there be anything left?
Yeah,
it was completely burnt.
Yeah, the ashes. Even the ashes are burning for
everything.
Even the ashes have to spread.
So this is the Ramban's kasha. This is the Ramban's kasha in Chumash. And
there was another. I was using the parts of the animal.
What?
It was supposed to be another. What are you doing with the parts?
So this is Ramban's kasha. So Ramban says like this. Ramban says, maybe you'll tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the ashes of whatever happened with the ram, and then recreated all the things that used to exist from those ashes, and then everything was back to normal after Avraham Avinu was makrit. The Ramban says, maybe you could say such a vart. And then I found that Rabbeinu Bachaye in Parshas Yisroi, as well as Rabbeinu Bachaye in his Pirsh on Mishnah in Maseches Ovis, he also says this. He brings Ramban's question and he says this answer. And the Taz.
What was the place for the question?
No, but I guess the Ramban thought that this was such a strong question that it deserves that we can say such a big chiddush that there was an extra nace that Hashem took the ashes and recreated all the things. I guess that's the Ramban's rationale.
I was actually thinking of something similar to that, because think of an isle that killed you wouldn't be living for 2,000, 4,000 years.
The what?
The same isle couldn't be
Okay, but that doesn't. That's not machayev. That this the same answer. You can say another other answers that'll have to be same.
Kill the animal and then machayev again.
Right. So that this is what the Ramban says, and it seems like the Ramban says it like ulai. Rabbeinu Bachaye brings down this same answer and question and answer. He goes like with this answer. The Taz he has a sefer on Chumash called Divrei David. So the Taz brings down the Rabban's kasha, and he brings down the Rabban's answer. He says, even though the Rabban writes Ulai, maybe, but the Taz says it's for sure. This is for sure the answer. This is the MS, and there's no question about it. That's what the Taz says. The Taz. Now, the Mizrahi, sefer Mizrahi on Chumash. So he brings down the Rabban's kasha, and he has like a whole shot, the terrors that he wants to say. The Mizrahi wants to say that there's a halacha that certain parts of the animal are the main meat and flesh of an animal when you bring it as an oila, so that's like the ikar carbon, and then you put it on the mizbeach and like that gets burnt and everything, right? Now there's certain parts of the animal that the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim Perek Tes Mishnah Hey says that lechatchila you're supposed to burn those things with the animal. But there's a difference between these parts of the body and other parts of the body, that the meat and the flesh, if it for somehow falls off the mizbeach before it's fully burnt, so the halacha is you're supposed to go and put it back on the mizbeach. But these parts of the body, if it falls off the mizbeach, since it's not really the ikar korban, it's only like dragged in secondary to the meat and the flesh, so then you don't have to put it back on the mizbeach, right? Pirshu lo yalu. If it fell off of the mizbeach, you don't have to put it back. What are those? Tzemer, shibereish kvosim. The what's it called? The tzemer, the wool of the at the heads of a keves of a lamb. V'hatzamos, bones, v'gidim, and the sinews, v'karnayim, and the horns. So the Mizrahi wants to answer that. What happened was Avraham Avinu was makriv of the aisle, and let's say the horn fell off of the mizbeach for whatever something happened. The horn fell off the mizbeach. You're not mechuyev to put the horn back on the mizbeach because that's not the ikar korban. It's not the meat and the flesh. So he left it there, and the horn was able to last forever. Right? And the same thing with the gidin and whatever. That's the Mizrahi style. But that's what the Mizrahi says.
What about the simple question, simple answer that we used last week?
That what?
It's like it's before the Matan Torah. I don't know, like in the locus of the oil and everything. It's not like, it has a carbon.
You want to say that?
Killed,
you want to say, yeah, so we don't know exactly what he was makriv and when he wasn't makriv. A similar idea. So he only put up the meat, he never even bothered to put
it. I said that based on the locus.
Yeah, I hear. I want to say it was a different type of carbon oil. And this type of carbon oil that he didn't require you to burn all these parts of the animal. It could be. No, the pasuk says, "Vayalei lo'ila tachas b'nei." Well, the ma'isa, the pirush you have on the bottom, the ba'isa godol, he says, I don't understand why all these great rabbis, all these ge'onim, are discussing this question of the Ramban. He says, to me, the answer is very pashut. This medrash doesn't literally mean that, let's say, the horn of the isle of Yitzchak was blown at Har Sinai. It doesn't literally mean that. No, he says that the skin of the isle was the belt of Eliyahu Navi. He can't literally mean that. He says, like, who gave it to Eliyahu Navi that he should use it as a belt? Who gave the sinews to David HaMelech that he should use it to turn it into a harp? Where'd he get it from? It lasted for 2,000 years, whatever, and then somehow he got it, and it's a mechtesi. So he says that, of course, it's talking about some inyonim ma'apit Kabbalah or whatever that we don't exactly understand, but it doesn't literally mean it. Unless the Maral and Gur Aryeh also, he brings them Ban's Kasha, and he says the same thing, that, Iyav Shalah Havin Adavar Kipshutay, we can't understand it Kipshutay, but, you know, this is what it's saying, and there's some sort of Kabbalistic inyonim that it's alluding to over here, that we're just going to have to accept that there's something more to the text than we have. What are you saying?
It would be the same question, how could this isle be alive at the time of Abraham?
What, if it was created from the time of...
Yeah, it was created 1,948 approximately years before Abraham checked it.
Right.
That's all. Meaning the answer is a very good answer. Literally.
Doesn't literally mean... Oh, come here.
Well, also has the same kind of idea.
And then you have that.
We spoke about the Levias and Barichos last year. There are people, I think it was Rashba we said, that the Rashba says that Lavyasan is not literal. It refers to like some sort of seichel, the klal yisrael, that we might say Mashiach, we're going to have certain hasaga of understanding of the Bria that we don't have nowadays. But I think it was the Rashba, I don't mean if I remember. I would have to look back at our notes when we talked about Bria's Eilim. But I don't know. Now let's look at the last line over here, and we'll start the next parak also afterwards. Rabbi Yitzchak Reimer. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Hakol lo yitzar ela bezchus hishtachavoya." Everything in the world was created in the merit of hishtachavoya, of bowing down. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, "Remimu Hashem elikenu." Hashem is, you know, very great. Hishtachavol hadayim maglav. We're going to bow down to His footstool. So Hashem is very great, and we're bowing down to His footstool because everything comes from the fact that we're going to bow down to Hashem. That the whole world was created from that. But the Radal says that this line in the Medrash, he wants to say that it's not from Pirkei Eliezer. It's added on later on because it's like no shaykhus. It's like, where is it coming from? What? I don't know. But the Bais HaGadol says that could be someone added it in to allude to a certain Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, which we're going to read to you in a second, and if you look at the whole Medrash, you'll see that it actually does have shaykhahs to what we were talking about. The Medrash is in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Nunvav. It sounds like it's Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, "Hakol b'zchus hishtachavoya." Everything was created in the zchus of bowing down. Avram. Where do we see that? So historically, we're going to see different parts where things would happen because of the zchus of bowing down. Avraham lechazer maher Maria el b'zchus hishtachavaya. Avraham Avinu was not zeicha to turn from Akedas Yitzchak, from offering Yitzchak, I guess, with Yitzchak intact, el b'zchus hishtachavaya. Rather, he only was able to do it with the zchus of bowing down, because it says in the pasuk, v'nishtachavem v'nashuva aleichem. When Avraham and Yitzchak left Yishmael and Eliezer behind, and they were going to go up the mountain themselves, so they said, "We're going to go up the mountain, we're going to bow, and we're going to come back." So since they went to bow, so then they had a special schus so that Yitzchak was saved. Yisrael le'nigalu el b'schus hishtachavoya. Klal Yisrael, when they were exiled to Egypt, they were only redeemed because of the schus of bowing down. Shneimer says the pasuk vayamein ha'am. The nation believed them. The pasuk in Parshas Shmos, right when they first heard that Moshe Rabbeinu said that he's going to redeem them, vayikdu vayishtachavu, and they prostrated themselves and they bowed down. The Torah itself was only given in the honor, in the merit of bowing down. By Har Sinai it says they're going to bow down from afar. Chana, right in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, she only merited to have children in the zchus that she bowed down to Hashem. She never vayishtachavu shom laHashem because they were oilel regal, and then she bowed down over there and they went to the Mishkan. Hagolios enam iskansas ala b'schus hishtachavaya. The exiles are going to be only going to come for the ingathering in the merit of bowing down. Hashem says the pasuk. Vaya bayam alu yitak b'shev gadol. On that day, they're going to blow the great shofar. Vaya oivdim eretz ashur. The people who are lost are going to come from eretz ashur. Vanidochem eretz asayim. And the people who are pushed away from eretz asayim. B'hishtachavu l'Hashem har kodesh. And they're going to come and they're going to bow down to Hashem in the holy mountain. So you see that the whole zchus, the people are going to merit to come when by the geula is going to be in the zchus of bowing down. And the last line, the Medrash says, "Beis Hamikdash le'nivra ela b'zchus hishtachavoya." Beis Hamikdash was only built in the zchus of bowing down. Hashem says, "Pasul remu Hashem lekenu v'yishtachavu l'har kodshei." We're going to make Hashem exalted, and we're going to bow to Him in Har Kodshei, in the mountain of His holy mountain. So you see that all these things happen only in the zchus of hishtachavaya. So what does this have to do with our parak or our medrash? Because it brought down the same pasuk of "Vayom Vayom Hu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol." So then here it makes sense that the medrash should bring another drush that brings down the same pasuk that is not talking necessarily about a kid. It's just like, let's talk about something else. Okay.